She is one of the most gifted and acclaimed singer-songwriters of her generation. She writes lyrics that can rip your heart out and make you cry, even when you're having a good day. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sarah McLachlan. Now, I read in your, and I could be wrong, because you never know. There's all kinds of stuff out there on the internet. But I read in your QEH, Queen Elizabeth High School yearbook from Halifax, Nova Scotia, that you were destined to become a rock star.
A famous rock star.
A famous rock star. See, yeah. Did you write it yourself?
No.
Oh,
good heavens, no. Do you imagine?
That was so. That really
so
is
obnoxious.
In your yearbook.
Yeah, my best friend Miranda Ogilvy wrote that.
And did you at that time feel that you were destined to become a famous rock star?
No, not really. I didn't think that far ahead. I've always really lived in the moment, and for some stroke of amazing luck that served me very well, I never really thought ahead, and it seemed like such a pipe dream, too, quite frankly. I mean, my parents drilled into me from a very early age that music is wonderful, and they really encouraged us to take lots of music lessons, both my brothers and myself, but that you go to university and you get an education, something to fall back on, and music is a wonderful hobby. Yeah, music and art was all I was ever interested in. I wasn't very good at academics, and I just sort of scraped through high school by the skin of my teeth. And I wanted to go to the art college and Nova Scotia College of Art and Design. So I begged and pleaded and was allowed to do that. Which I figured I'm going to be a jewelry designer or something fun and creative. Yeah. And but then I got handed the golden ticket,
and now here she is, a famous rock star. Just like the yearbook said. That's fallen from the CD Closer, the Best of Sarah McLachlan. Now, that song was nominated for a Grammy for Best Female Pop Vocal. The album it comes from, Afterglow, was also nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album. Been nominated for 21 Junos.
You have 21?
21. Wow. That's pretty cool. You have 8 at home. You have 3 Grammy Awards at home. Do you have them displayed? Do you have them tucked away in a box?
In my manager's office, I think. I don't know where to put them that's not kind of, ooh, look at me. Look at all my awards. Yeah. All my gold and platinum records just sitting in the basement, bubble wrap.
Now, off the top, I talked about emotions and how your lyrics can take us down some very dark paths. And when I look into your eyes, I see such joy and such light. It just, where does this stuff come from?
Songwriting is very cathartic for me, and it is typically a process of working through something, some sort of emotional response or some issues or whatever. I just have to get it out. And to let those two songs, which I felt were really powerful and strong and very much of the place I was in today, to have to wait for 2 years to get a whole bunch more material together to put them out just didn't make any sense. Mm.
That song is so emotional and so raw, and no matter how many times we can hear the song and we all know the lyrics, it still hits us and gives us goosebumps over and over. What was the inspiration for that song? That's the same thing it does to me.
I mean, I sort of feel like that song in particular was such a gift to me. It was sort of like it was put in my lap. Usually it takes me months to write a song, and that song was written in a matter of 2 or 3 days. I was up in the Laurentians in a little tiny cottage. I'd just come off the road. I think I was out for almost 2 years, and for me, being on the road, it's sort of a suspended reality, and you sort of don't have time to deal with anything that comes your way. You just stuff it down, and when you get home, you deal with it all. And so I was sort of in that the process of opening up Pandora's box and going, okay, who the heck am I at the end of the day? And I was reading the Rolling Stone magazine. It had an article about the keyboard player from the Smashing Pumpkins who had OD'd on heroin. And it just, I had this flood of empathy for this guy, for that feeling of, because I really related, not to the heroin part, because I've never done that and I never will, but to that feeling of being so lost and down and desperate to have something lift you and take you out of the place you're in. And that song just, it came to me.
And we're up close and personal with Sarah McLachlan. The new CD is called Closer, the Best of Sarah McLachlan. Now, back in 1997, we mentioned Lilith Fair, and back in 1997, you founded what has actually become the most successful all-female music festival in history. Music history, that's a big deal. Yeah. And it was certainly one of the biggest music festivals of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Clearly, as we look back, we can see that you were a pioneer. Do you feel, or did you feel, like you were and are a pioneer?
No, not really. I mean, it was a really selfishly motivated thing. I wanted to play a bunch of shows in the summer. I didn't want to have all the responsibility on my shoulders. And I thought, wow, there's all this great music being made by women. And I looked out at all the other festivals that were going on, and they were completely male dominated, yet there was all this great music. So why weren't these women being put on these bills? And so I thought, well, I'll just invite them to play with me. And, you know, we talked to a few promoters, and the promoter's like, oh, no, you can't have all those women on one bill. People won't come. And of course, they're not like, well, you're an idiot. And anybody says something like that to me, I'm like, oh, that was fighting words. Okay, come on.
We're back up close and personal with Sarah McLachlan, and we're discussing the new CD. It's called Closer, the Best of Sarah McLachlan, a Greatest Hits Package. And we're also talking about life and kids. You have two.
I have two. I have a 6.5-year-old and a almost 16-month-old.
Wow.
Both girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Oh, and they're fantastic.
That does change your life.
Oh, profoundly. Absolutely.
Does that change your writing?
It sure slowed things down.
How about the place from which you write? Did it change that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I haven't written any songs about them necessarily, although I think that might be changing soon. But, you know, World on Fire, I wrote that with Pierre Marchand, my longtime producer, and he has two children as well, and we sort of had them around the same time, and we were sort of looking at the world with very different eyes, being parents and looking at the next generation, and what is the legacy? What are our kids going to have to contend with, and what are their children, their grandchildren going to contend with in this world that seems to be falling apart in a lot of ways around our feet? And so that song was sort of a reaction to that feeling of apathy that we are so overwhelmed by all the things that are going wrong that we think nothing I could possibly do is going to make any difference. And it's the idea that we all can absolutely make a difference, whether it's a huge gesture of millions of dollars or helping a little old lady across the street. All these things are positive, and they have a ripple effect, I think, that just, you know, that goes out in the world and makes it a better place. I know that sounds really corny, but I absolutely believe that. And you know, that we are all part of a global community, which is we're living in a very small planet, which is getting smaller and smaller. And we all have, I think, a responsibility to do whatever it is we can and whatever, you know, use the gifts that we have to create a positive change and to do something good for the world and for people who aren't as fortunate. I mean, I feel so incredibly blessed and lucky that I have this life, that I get to make music and that people enjoy it and I make a great living at it. And I get to choose to stay home for 2 years with my girls and then step out and play a few shows. I mean, it's, you know, I guess the whole giving back thing for me is it's a way of thanking the universe because, man, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky. And we all are in Canada. You know, this is a great country. And
we have a lot to appreciate.
We do. And, you know, I think all of us, myself included, have taken a lot for granted. And, you know, I've had my eyes opened a number of years ago. Actually, it was 1991 now. I went to Thailand and Cambodia with World Vision and Much Music, and we shot a video on AIDS and prostitution and poverty and what World Vision was trying to do to help. And, wow, I came back from that experience just completely changed. Because I came from a middle class family in Nova Scotia, had my college tuition paid for, and you know, always had food on the table and clothes on my back, and it was just not even an issue. And I took all those things for granted. And just to see another part of the world, a big part of the world out there, who, you know, just the simple thing of trying to get food on the table and a dry bed is or medicine for your kid is next to impossible. And it just blew my mind, you know? So that was, I guess, sort of the beginnings of recognizing how lucky I was, which has certainly stayed with me.
And you have the project in Vancouver where you are working with kids in the inner city,
mm-hmm.
the Sarah McLachlan Music Outreach Program, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
that's what it's
called. A free music school.
It's an
after-school music program. We have about 200 kids enrolled right now, and we teach guitar and piano, percussion. There's a junior choir, senior choir. We do songwriting workshops. And, this was the money I made from Lilith I put into this foundation, and I hope to have it go for a very long time and maybe do some other ones elsewhere.
I was
elsewhere.
Just going to say, any chance it could move anywhere else in the country?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good model, and I think it really works really well. So we're limited, obviously, by funding. I've just sort of started approaching corporations for money.
We're up close and personal with Sarah McLachlan, and the new CD is a career anthology. 14 cuts, and all of them absolutely fabulous. Yeah, come on, you can clap if you like. So a couple of new songs, as we've mentioned. We talked about one already. But the other new song on this particular CD, and I read it, I'm going to kind of quote what I read that you had said about the song, Don't Give Up on Us. It's about that uncertain, confusing place at the end of a relationship when there's no communication or closure, things still up in the air, there's a lot of anger and sadness.
Life is lumpy and...
Life is life. Life is life.
It is. It's
life.
Is life. And I'm not going to say it's easy. It's not. But, we're working through it.
We're up close and personal with Sarah McLachlan. The new CD is Closer, the best of Sarah McLachlan, covering a fabulous 20-year career. And is there anything that you think that you have left to do, that you want to do?
I mean,
you've got a long career away. Anything in particular?
I'm not dead
anything
yet.
Anything in particular?
I just want to keep making music. I want to keep playing. I want to keep singing and writing, hopefully good stuff. And I am always open to ideas. I love the idea of singing with other people, so I open myself up to the universe.
Is there anybody in particular that you would like to sing with that you haven't?
I have a big, long list.
You have sang with a lot of performers. Anybody that was your favorite that you really felt you had a great connection with?
So many. Amy Lou Harris was really, really incredible to sing with. She's one of my favorite voices in the world, and I loved singing with her. She sang Angel with me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That would be
fabulous. Oh, that voice.
Is that recorded anywhere?
Yeah.
YouTube?
Actually, I think it's on, I'm pretty sure it's on the last Rarities and B-Sides and other stuff. The new one that we just put out.
Okay. Sarah is like all over YouTube. If you're ever feeling lonely and you want to see a live performance, just go. I mean, they're fabulous performances.
Oh,
you
thank
and Josh
you.
And you and Patti Smith. There was some really...
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Patti Smith thing.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I played piano on that.
You were playing piano.
So scary.
Yeah, she's scarier. It was scary.
No, it was scary.
Was it?
I have to play piano for Patti Smith.
Why is she...
Nerve-wracking.
You can tell us.
No, she's lovely. She's quiet and unassuming. She's just... Yeah, but it's Patti Smith. Didn't want to screw up.
No.
I was nervous.
What would you think... What would you say is the... The biggest event, biggest thrill that's ever happened to you in your musical career?
It would be the first time I ever played live. I was 17. It was the Dalhousie Sub-Union Ballroom in Halifax. And it was the very first gig I did with my band called the October Game. And, I was in grade 11, barely getting through high school, not terribly popular, a little bit on the weird side. And... so I was told. And I just remember standing up there on stage and singing. So we were doing some originals and some covers. And I remember just there was 400 people in the audience and they were all looking at me and smiling and dancing. And I thought, this is the best drug in the world. And I don't ever want to get off this ride.
Wow.
And I remember it like it was yesterday.
Well, we certainly have enjoyed Sarah McLachlan this evening, have we not?
Thank you.
She has been up since the wee small hours doing press for the new CD and playing various venues across the country. So we are so thrilled that you would stop and spend some time with us. We really do appreciate
it's my pleasure.
And thank you so much. We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And we're going to close our Up Close and Personal special this evening with Sweet Surrender. Thank you so much for listening.